Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. This is the Mind Changers Podcast. I am your old pal, Rob, and here we are today in the beautiful heart of Texas. It is a beautiful day to have a beautiful day. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and we are on the road once again. So, it has... Things are interesting these days, I guess is the best way to say this. And I think something that has, I guess, awakened in me, in a way, and I've been awakened too, is multifold. And today we're going to talk about freedom, resilience, and love. Now, when we talk about all of those things together, they all sort of intertwine, and they do. But at the heart of it is this. Everything that we do when we wake up, everything that we see when we're out in the world, everything that... If every car on the road, every home that's been built, every job that's being done, everything has its roots somewhere in love. So if you have a job, you're doing it because you want to feed yourself and your family, or you're supporting yourself and your family, and you have love for yourself or your family. So you get a job and you do that job, and maybe you love that job. Maybe you love the work that you're doing. Maybe you open a business because you love that. Whatever it is, you're doing that out of a sense of love. Especially in Central Texas, in the Hill Country, wildflowers grow like mad in the middle of the road. They grow because they love the water and the rain, or they love the water and the sun, and they're here to get to do that. There's no reason for them other than love. Don't only think of love in the typical romantic sense, right? Think of it as because you don't have romantic love for your pet or your child. You have deeper heart-based love for them. So that's what you do, right? You love from your heart and your soul for those things. But all the stuff that we do, I'm passing by right now a small business park on the side of the road, and it exists for some level of love, whether that's someone's love of money or love for money, or someone's love of the business that they're trying to start. Whatever it is, whatever they've imagined to do, the world is so rich and abundant and full of possibility. It's not that you're seeking the love of the outcome, but to seek the journey is what love is. To be one with the journey. That's love, right? And so I know it sounds a little esoteric. It sounds a little... a little woo-woo, right? But the fact of the matter is, even people who make guns and bombs and munitions and all of that kind of stuff are, in and of themselves, doing it for love. Now, some of it may be just greed and love of money, but others may be, if we have these things, we won't be attacked because our enemies know we have these things. Maybe, right? So these are bought, these are purchased, these are used to protect against bad people because we love what's behind us more than we hate what's in front of us, right? This is the point of why I say love leads everything. Love focuses on everything. We have streetlights and stoplights because of love. We have electricity, and we have fast food restaurants because of love. All of this stuff exists for love on one layer or another, on one level or another, right? So it's, and you start to figure that out when you begin to ask why. You get to, you ask, I'm going to open a chicken restaurant. Why? Because I like chicken and I want to make some money. Why? Because that way my family, if it's successful, I can help them. Why? Because I love my family. There's your answer. What does a chicken restaurant have to do with love? Well, if you're a chicken, not fucking much. But if it's you, if you're human and people eat chicken, like a lot, right? So it's as simple as that, right? And so with that love comes a need for resilience. And if you are opening yourself up to love, if you're opening yourself up to a love of any kind, you're opening yourself up to injury and to you're being vulnerable, right? So what does that mean? Well, does that mean you're always going to be hurt? Not always, but probably. There's a good chance you're going to be hurt, and you have to live with that chance. And even in the case of the flower or the chicken restaurant, your restaurant could go out of business and you could be a failure. And in that failure, you must show resilience. Or there might be a drought and the flower might not get the water it needs and it might die. But next year, it'll be back because it's resilient. So being and becoming resilient based on love is who and what we all need to do, be, and strive for. And that's rather the point of it all, in my opinion. We cannot be constantly upended by what someone else wants us to think or to do or to be. We can't always be offended or angry at things that don't matter to us. Not truly. You know, if you're a person, the way that perhaps the state of California runs itself, I'm not crazy about that. I don't like the way California does business and the things that they've presented, I don't like. But I live in, I don't live in California. So I don't really care how they do business. It doesn't make a difference to me. It's up to the people who live there to make the change if they'd like to see the change. Right? And so the things that don't matter to me, might matter to you, but you have to ask once again, why? If it matters, if you don't live in California and something that California does makes you angry, you have to ask yourself why that is. You're being drawn in. You're being weak. You're not being resilient when you're angry at this stuff. You might be pointing out, hypocrisy, on the part of quote unquote progressives, or if you're a progressive, pointing out hypocrisy on the part of Republicans. If you don't like the way Florida's run, and you're in California, and you don't like the way Florida's run, you don't have a reason to be angry about that, because you're not in Florida. If you want to change how Florida does business, move to Florida and fix it. But you don't get to do that. You don't get to change that stuff if you are not there. And so it doesn't matter. And this is the problem that we're facing very, very consistently, is we just want to argue and moan and bitch and complain about things that have no effect on our lives, because we have become so comfortable with our lives. Our lives have become so easy, so comfortable, so simple, that we have time now to complain about things that will never affect us. Imagine even 60, 70 years ago, right? Imagine that. It's mind-boggling to consider, right? something that would have will never have an effect on us. If you live in Louisiana and Illinois put an assault rifle ban in place, and in Louisiana you're mad about that, why? Why do you care? That's what they want. That's what they wanted, apparently. And if they didn't want it, they'd fix it. Right? So it starts with you taking care of you around you. And if you are disordered or upset at things that you see on, you know, in social media or online or in newspapers or whatever, or, you know, in news programs or on cable news or whatever, you in whatever, common media or social, if you're mad at that, you have to ask yourself why and become more resilient, not worry about those things you can't fix or change, because you're not even in the power to do that. What you're doing, though, the thing that you are doing, and the thing that we should all be worried about, is you are creating more division where there needn't be any. You're doing that. I'm doing that. When I say, you know, oh, I'm upset at the way things work and the way things are and the way... Well, I don't even... Now, if you have a vested interest somehow in the place that's doing the things that you don't like, certainly you can... You feel free to speak up. That is your right. But understand, it doesn't mean anything. And when you say, very much like when you are offended at a joke or a film or what somebody said, it doesn't mean anything that you're offended. Nothing happens. There's no magic in that. Right? There's nothing fancy about that. And it is galling that we have become so weak and so addicted to our own comfort that when a small group of people that are online see something that they don't like that a company did and then raise some false or recreational outrage about it, and the company bends like a willow in the wind because they feel they must in order to keep them the doors open because the thing that they love is threatened by these pissant mongrels who only want to be offended. And try, which turns into a digital authoritarianism from a mob-ruled source. So, if this group is upset at you, they can be upset at you, and they can shut your business down because they're mad at something that you said or did. Because you don't like what they said or did. If you don't like what they said or did, don't buy anything from them. But why do you care if that's what they believe? You just won't. You want everybody to join with you? You want everybody to gather with you and join in a boycott because you're upset? You don't have enough to do. You're not busy enough in your life. You're not focused enough on the good things in your life or the bad things that you are refusing to fix. If you were more focused on the things that mattered to you, you wouldn't have time to worry about the shit that doesn't. You wouldn't have a second more to worry about that. But you've got all of this time, and how fortunate are we to have all of this time to do these things, right? And so that's what freedom is. That's where freedom comes in. And so from love, from love to resilience, and now to freedom. I believe in freedom. I believe, and I know it's dangerous. I know freedom is dangerous. It's scary to many people. Safety is more important than freedom to a great deal of people. To me, freedom is more important than safety. Because we will agree at some point on what is safe and what isn't, as a group. But the truth of the matter is, when you have people who are more concerned with the government making them safe, which they can never truly do, they will not keep you safe from anything, right? They will not keep you safe from being harmed. They will not keep you safe. You may not, you know, yes, you may not die in a mass shooting in the UK, but you could die from a stabbing, or you could die from a car driving over you, or you could drive, and you could be killed in any number of ways that aren't necessarily available to people in the UK, right? That are available to people in the US. But even that, even the folks that are killed here in those horrible ways, it's a very small fraction of those who are actually killed. So it's like, what are you trying to do? Be fully safe and have no injuries at all and nothing happen? That's a utopian idea, but it is impossible. It is an impossibility. Just like equality of outcome is impossible, full safety is not freedom. I believe, anyone who is mentally stable enough and wants to own a firearm of their choosing should be able to. I think anybody who wishes to smoke marijuana should be able to smoke marijuana without any interference from the federal government, or without their having their door kicked in. Now, sure, may they tax it? Sure. May they regulate it? Certainly, because we can manage at scale with that easily enough, right? So it's not too potent, or it's not false things, or there's not bad chemicals being put in there, so people are injured beyond what their injury. I think if people want to smoke, they should, with the full knowledge of what that means. I think if women want to have abortions, they should be able to, without restriction, right? Without restriction or interference from the federal government. It doesn't make a difference to anybody else. The state doesn't have a vested interest in making sure that all of these children are born that otherwise wouldn't have been if they were aborted. Now, I'm pro-choice myself, but I'm not pro-abortion. I don't think it's good. I don't think abortion's good, but I also think it should be legal, and I think it should be safe, because if we don't have it safe and legal, it will exist in unsafe conditions. And why make folks unsafe? Right? Why do that? It's the same thing. It's the same thing as decriminalization. I think all drugs should be decriminalized. And we should stop trying to law enforce our way out of a medical problem, which is addiction. Addiction is a disease just like anything else. And as we learn more and more about how the brain works and why it works the way it does, we continue to do the same outdated, mindless bullshit that we've always done for reasons that nobody can understand. We know that sugar is addictive, yet sugar is in everything. We know that fat doesn't make us fat, but yet we're scared still from the 80s and the 90s to have fat. We are being held at ransom by Big Pharma. Right? And I hate to say even Big Pharma, because it sounds crazy conspiracy theorist kind of stuff, but it's true, isn't it? So we've had these things, we've had these focuses, we've had these challenges and we've had all these tribulations, and we haven't done the right things to avoid having our society negatively impacted by them. That's the trouble, isn't it? So if we don't find a way to fix the problem, what are we really doing other than being upset for no reason? So when I say the hop between love to resilience to freedom, it's a plan, it's a roadmap, it's an ideal that we say, hey, you know what? We do these things because we love to do these things. And, you know, say I'm a person who loves donuts, so I make donuts. Now, people shouldn't eat donuts a lot, but if you want a donut, you should have one, right? You should have access to one. And you shouldn't be overtaxed because, you know, you shouldn't have a double tax on the donuts for a sugar tax. But you should be made aware that sugar is not good for you. right? And it's the same thing, you know, the same thing with anything, right? But let's say I own a donut shop because I like donuts and I sell donuts. That's fantastic. And if I want a donut, I should have one. But if you don't want one, you shouldn't tell me I shouldn't have one because sugar's bad for me. I know it is. But this is something that I enjoy. So if I'm not resilient enough to allow the donut shop to exist, then I'm trying to pick authority from somebody who has it now, right? I'm trying to take it from someone who has it. Well, why am I doing that? Well, because I believe I'm smarter than everybody else? Is that why I should do it? Or should I do it because, what, I'm more brilliant than anybody else around? I'm smarter, I'm more intelligent, I'm more capable? What does that mean? Or is that just bullshit? See, to me, that's just bullshit. To me, that's just someone saying, well, I disagree with this. It's the same thing. So we talk about the whole transgender bit, right? Transgender folks are a very small portion of who this nation is comprised of. But they are taking up an enormous bit of energy in our media, right? Because people who are afraid or unsure or, quite frankly, kind of dumb, end up saying things like, oh, we shouldn't allow, you know, for children might see a drag queen. Well, no. So what if they see one on the street? No, they shouldn't go to drag shows. No. And I don't even think Drag Queen Story Hour should be a thing. But here's what I also believe. It's up to that community to make that decision. Right? Vote on that shit. You have the ability. Right? Talk about it. Have an open debate about it. But let's not get things twisted. People aren't in a predicament. People aren't in this predicament because they were free. They're in this predicament because they're not. And the state, once again, does not have a compelling need to control what people do with their children. Now, I don't believe that permanent, quote-unquote, gender-affirming care should be something that a parent does to a child. There shouldn't be anything permanent that happens necessarily, with the possible exception, and I don't even necessarily believe this, but with the possible exception of circumcision for men, for males, right? I don't even think that's necessary in its entirety, but I also think that it's possible that it's beneficial, right? I don't know all the data on that, but here's what I know. It doesn't hurt much not to have a foreskin. Whatever. You know, it's small things to a giant, so to speak. But at the end result, what we're dealing with ultimately is parents changing forever the trajectory of their children and their behaviors and their existence. So, and they're ruining them for normal sexual experiences, you know, in their lives. They, you know, they may not be able to procreate if they want to later on. They may not be able to have an orgasm. Now, imagine a world where you, because of what the decision that your mom made 10 years ago, you couldn't have an orgasm. Holy shit. Imagine that. You think you'd be upset at your mother? I know I would be, right? But there's nothing compelling about the state having that discretion. I don't like it, so I'm not going to do it. I don't have kids, so that's also my choice. And so we get to the point where we're focused on the wrong things. So we love our children and we want them to be safe. And we don't know ultimately what that means in the long term. But they cannot be safe from everything. We can keep them safe from some things. But we can't keep them safe from everything, and certainly not all the time. Right? So the point is, the state needs to step out of much of this debate. Regulate where you must, control where you must. But ultimately what it means is we don't have to listen to people who are afraid all the time, because we're afraid all the time. We're afraid, and the reason that we're afraid goes back to our love of comfort. We love comfort, so we love to be afraid, or we need to be afraid because we have to hold on to this comfortable status that we live in, right? We live in a very comfortable place in this country. The majority of people live in comfort when compared to the developing world, right? So we are to a point where, you know, we're so comfortable that we are interested in policing language and changing how people are referred to other people and so on and so forth. For what reason? No one still has any idea other than control. So you're looking to gain unelected control over other people because you believe you have a better way of doing things. Well, if you truly do have a better way of doing things, get elected, go to work, make the changes. But you know you don't, because when people get together, they talk about how ridiculous the left, particularly in this case, but also the right in many cases, the people get together and they talk about how stupid you all sound. Because you do. You sound like idiots, fighting over things that don't matter to you, that have no bearing on your life. You're fighting over things that you want control over. You suddenly somehow think that it's good to have overturned Roe versus Wade when it isn't. That's less freedom for fewer people. And if I, as a human being, a man, can't control what a doctor does to me or doesn't do to me in a situation that may be life-threatening to me, how dare you consider that you should have the ability? How dare you consider that you should have the ability to take that away from me? Who do you think you are? Right? Who do you think you are? And it was, and it's only, things like that are only to control a population. They're not to save lives. Because the fact is, in every other way, especially with the abortion debate, the saving children's lives thing is a hypocritical lie. And we know it. Because we're not talking about expanding food or shelter or any of the other packages that would keep a child safe. They're only talking about birth. They're pro-birth, not pro-life, right? But that's my opinion. And anybody else can think or believe or do anything that they wish. And that's their right. But when you start to broadcast your faith on, or your belief or your decisions onto other people for what it is that they want, think, or believe, then you start to take things apart. Then you start to consider the wrong things, right? Then you start to do the things that are difficult or wrong or upsetting. That's a challenge. You know, that's a challenge that we don't often properly rise to meet. And so I think, and this is just me, but I think that we've made the mistake long enough that we don't choose properly all the time. And so we have to allow people to live their lives and make their own mistakes and do the things that benefit them. You know, that's what I think. I think we need to allow folks to do what it is that they need to do the things that benefits them the most. Because if we don't, we will end up under the control of people that we don't like. And if we don't stand up for our own beliefs and we don't stand up for our own truth and be able to speak our own truth, the world will come for us. And history will come for us, and the pendulum will swing so far in the other direction that we won't recognize what it looks like in even a decade. Because what if 2016 has taught us absolutely nothing, it's taught us that we are but one election away from something awful happening. Now, here's what I'm going to say about that. I do not like Donald Trump, and I never have. I haven't considered much more than he was just a loudmouth asshole from New York in years before he got elected. Okay? But here's the thing. From a policy perspective, he wasn't the worst president we've ever had. Some of his stuff actually worked. We know that because the Biden administration kept doing it. Kept doing some of the things that were selected, right? That he did. They kept doing it. But here's the trouble. The person that he was made him completely unpalatable. Nobody wanted him around because he's an asshole. And we don't need a manic asshole dealing with all of our stuff as a leader of the free world, as somebody who is going to be in charge of the nuclear football. We don't need some ridiculous lunatic in charge of that stuff. And he comes off like a ridiculous lunatic. I don't know what else to say but that. Because there is nothing else to say but that. He comes off just manic and crazy and ridiculous. But Biden is no prize either. He's just less of that. So, in the end, love, resilience, and freedom is the salvation for our nation going as we move forward, in my belief. And I hope that I have helped change your mind in that as well. We do things that we love. We try to be resilient in the face of changes and challenges, right? We try to do that. And we hope and we strive for the most freedom for the most people all the time. Because there's nothing like the freedom to be who you are and what you want to be. And it makes all the difference in the world when you experience real freedom for the first time. You ask an immigrant that comes here after they've been here for a little while if they're free or not when they get here. Ask an immigrant that's been here for a few years and has experienced true oppression. Yeah. It'll wake you up. Truly it will. So that's it. I hope that... I hope that I've helped change minds or helped talk to a discussion a little bit. ThreeGoodThingsPod@gmail.com is still where I'm at. If you'd like to talk about it, or if you want to hear more about that, or if you know whatever it is, get into the discussion. And I'm still working on mind changers stuff. So ThreeGoodThingsPod@gmail.com. That's the best way to reach me. But it's I hope I've helped. And or at least I hope I've made you think. So that's that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and kittens, friends all across the fruited plain and around the big blue marble, thank you very much for your time, your trouble, and everything that you are. You are fantastic individuals, and I appreciate each and every one of you. And I hope that your day, your week, and your month is everything you need it to be. Be well, everyone. Bye-bye.